Okay, so this is the Vanguard Academy board meeting. Today's Tuesday, October 11th, 2022. So we will open with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to our board meeting, and particularly our new board members. This is Brad Nelson. This is his first board meeting, and then Debbie is just her second board meeting. So we welcome our new board members. So the first item on the agenda is to open it up to public comment, and we didn't receive any public comments, any notification for public comment. So if there's no public comment, we'll move on to the next item, which is items of excellence. Oh, roll call first, right. Sorry. So we'll start this side and go around.
Okay, Joy Palmer, Board Assistant.
Charles Reynolds, School Director.
Dan Jessup, Board Member.
Marie Evans, Education Director.
Grace Mitchell, Board Treasurer.
Kim Mangum, Board Member.
Scott Kingston, Vice Chair.
Jonah Jenkins, Counseling Services Coordinator.
Darren Jenkins, Board Member.
Brad Nelson, Board Member.
Debbie Llewellyn, Board Member.
And Eric Freeman, Board Chair. Okay, so that brings us to the item of items of excellence. So we'll open that up to anyone that has anything they want to share.
Maybe I'll share. We had five different categories in our testing that we were within the top five in growth in the state. And our eighth grade math was number three in the state in proficiency. Really proud of our students and our teachers.
School did a performance at University of Utah yesterday. Did very well. Quite pleased with the outcome of the music program.
There were some videos posted that sounded really good from the camera in the
background. Okay. So that brings us to the next item is minutes from last meeting. We actually have three different sets of minutes we need to approve. You should have two of them, and Charles has the last item. Pass those down. So August 25th and August 29th are one page, and September 6th is three pages. Four pages, sorry.
And does everybody have a copy of September 6th?
I don't have one yet.
Four pages.
Thank you.
approve each meeting before we get it separated?
Yes.
I motion to approve August 25th, 2022 board meeting.
I'll second.
So we had a motion from Darren to approve the August 25th minutes and a second from Kim. So all in favor of approving the August 25th minutes, say yes.
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 And any opposed?
Not opposed, but can I recuse myself where I was in attendance?
No, take the time.
Okay, or abstain
yes.
from voting.
Well, yes.
I have a question on 29. When it says LEA specific licensing, I'm wondering if the people who were originally listed on here for the record.
I think it might make sense to do that.
So I think we didn't we do that in the second meeting.
So the September meeting we had. Anyone that was voted on individually is listed separately on the September meeting.
Sorry, on the LEA specific licenses, that was separate.
Oh, that's a different
took place in September 6th. There should have been, there was an attachment passed out mm-hmm. that should have been a handout attached that had the names of the
yeah, so I don't know that we need to note that in the minutes, but we did, everyone did have that attachment to approve at the meeting.
The minutes are read that page, but also be in the record somewhere.
Yes, so when we post the minutes, anything that was handed out in the board meeting, we also post.
And so maybe going back to the August 25th minutes, there was there any more discussion on that before we, because we had the vote, and we had all of the yeses. There were no noes, but there were a couple of abstains. And so that, the August 25th minutes will be approved. And so then we can take your time to review the others, but we can entertain motions to approve the August 25th and September 6th minutes. August 29th and September 6th.
Mm-hmm.
we're open to motions to approve either one of these if everybody's ready.
I second.
Okay, so you have Grace's motion to approve the August 29th minutes and Dan second. So all in favor, say yes.
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 All opposed, say no. So it is unanimous. So the August 29th minutes are approved. Gave a motion to approve the September 6th minutes and Darren seconded. So all in favor, say yes.
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 And any opposed, say no. So the September 6th minutes also are approved. Voting is unanimous for all those who voted. So next on the agenda is the director's report and we'll turn it over to Charles for that.
Well, first I want to mentioned we had our music, our fall music concert last night, and it was, I don't know if anyone mentioned it earlier, but it was quite phenomenal. I think they did a fantastic job, and I was really proud of the students and their performance. The concert was held at the University of Utah Libby Gardner Hall, which seats about 650 people, and the hall was nearly full of people watching the concert. And so I think it was a wonderful experience for the kids. And hopefully all of you were able to attend. So just want to compliment them on that. Also, I want to talk a little bit about the State Charter School Board and the status of things there. As we mentioned in the last meeting, the finance office, the interim finance officer that they had selected, elected not to accept the position and turned it down. They are still looking for someone to fill that position. But we did get notice in last week that they have appointed an interim board member and an interim director to work with me. The interim board member is a woman named Rachel Anderson. And the interim board mentor is a woman named Rachel Anderson. The State Charter School Board has stated that she'll be reaching out to us, but didn't give an exact date. To date, I have not heard from her.
I actually just barely got a reply back from Liz Bunker, and they should both have their contracts signed for both of those people by November 8th, she said.
Okay.
So she said, don't worry about inviting your meetings until November 8th.
Okay. So, and so, so I expect that we will hear from her prior to the next meeting then. The interim director that's been appointed to work with me is a man named Michael Clark. I understand he's a biology teacher for the Salt Lake Arts Academy, and he will be starting on November 8th. I don't know anything about him myself. I understand Debbie has met him or knows a little bit about him.
There's a Michael Clark that has been the executive director at Summit Academies. Is it that Michael Clark?
I'm not sure.
I don't see how a biology teacher would be helpful.
Sorry. As I was looking up the information, I just took
the...
Who
did you think he was with?
It's Michael Clark.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Perhaps we have the wrong Michael Clark. Were you the one that sent me the bio on him?
I Googled a Michael Clark, and that was the one that came up from Utah. So maybe I Googled the wrong one.
I think it's a different Michael Clark.
Okay.
What school do you think he used to be?
He is the executive director with Summit Academy.
Currently?
And I, as of last week, yeah. Unless they
Okay, where did you say that was?
Summit Academy.
Summit?
They have a few schools. He should be pretty good. I've known Michael for a while.
But he's currently still. How's it? It's a big school.
They have four campuses.
Yeah.
They have Summit Academy.
Yeah, they're big. They're the biggest, I think.
Okay, well, I will correct the information I have on him then. But we do anticipate that he'll be starting here, helping us beginning November 8th, as Grace mentioned. And so I anticipate we'll be able to work with both of them to help resolve the issues that have resulted in our probationary status. We do look forward to resolving those issues. I also want to mention next week is a short school week with the college spring breaks coming for SLIT. We scheduled our spring break at the same time.
Fall break.
And I just wanted to make the board aware I will be out of the office all week, but we will have both Rebecca Lucas and John Williams available to address anything that comes up, along with the rest of the administration. And then we did finally receive last year's assessment data, and I believe Ms. Evans will be reviewing that in her report a little bit further down. And then just got a couple of items related to human resource, but before that, what I'd like to request is if at this point we could move item 7 on the agenda, move it up and review that now.
Yeah, unless anyone has any more discussion on the director's report, then we can move on. Okay. So we'll move on to item 7, the policy update, and we'll put that ahead of item 5 on the agenda.
Okay, this is the same text that was passed out last week. Everyone a chance to review it. As I mentioned, a lot of the policies are just kind of, they're just trying to streamline some of the wording in them and directly reference some of the regulations that they apply to. And if anyone has any questions on any of them, we can go through and answer them. Unless you want me to go through and review each one individually. Whatever the board's pleasure would be.
I've reviewed everything in there. One question I have is, has legal reviewed any changes, or is that something that we should have them do?
We haven't had an attorney review any of the any of these specific changes. On some of these, they were actually in the system as pending board approval for quite a while ago when I took over just made the assumption they still needed to be reviewed by the board. If we would prefer, we could.
I don't know that it's necessary, but I don't know what everyone else thinks.
I know that we had somebody come in and review our policies. Do you remember anything about that, Joe? Somebody was reviewing our policies, correcting things, having us correct things that we needed to correct, and I can't remember.
Okay. I don't know, whatever the board thinks. I don't know that it's necessary to have legal review. I think it might be a good practice in the future, but.
Just for clarification, the green is the proposed change?
Yes.
Yes, the green is. The packet contains different policies. Each policy has a number. Most of these are out of either the parent student handbook or the, in fact, the all of them come out of our parent student handbook.
The ones in the back, the student parent handbook, these are ones that are new or they're the same as before? They just don't have any changes?
The last one, the tuition reimbursement and compensation, it's a policy that was already in there, but it had been labeled pending approval. I went through and reviewed it. We actually have some teachers asking about doing this, and I felt like that in order to go forward with that, it should be something that was approved. And I can explain any questions that you might have on that one.
That's not part of the parent-student handbook, though, right? That's an employee policy.
And that's correct. I'm not even sure why it's been given a number out of the parent-student handbook, but that actually should be in the teacher handbook.
Can I ask a question about class change 1.4?
Yes.
The proposed change, what's the logic, the circumstance behind that? Is there any change in teachers, matching student schedules, will be changed before the first day of school? That's pretty concrete, locks you in pretty hard. Is that something that has not been an issue in the school, or has been an issue in the school?
It has been somewhat of an issue where we get a lot of changes that school starts, and there's been a bunch of changes.
So, is this obligating the school or the parents?
Well, it's
because this sounds like you're obligating the school not to make any changes or matching students or teachers in the middle of the school year.
And that's a good point. This is more obligating the parents. Now we do, let's see.
When I read that, I was wondering I wanted to have just a discussion on that. Because it seems like, you need to have a good policy, and I understand having a hard policy, and I think my wife's going to tell you guys this. But I think it needs to make sure that it's something you can change them, even if you have a good hard policy or hard procedure, but it's I don't know if you can say no schedule changes. Is that a possible thing?
We actually have on our schedule change form that has a policy written similar to that. It doesn't say no schedule changes, but it has to follow a process that there would be certain types of schedule changes that would be approved. And it would have to be approved by the administration.
And that's probably
be written the way we have it on our form.
I think it needs to say this is what it takes to do a schedule change. Even if it says I got to climb to the top of the Empire State Building with my bare hands, this is what it's going to take.
I agree with that. I think the first wording should be here's how you can.
I don't think you can say you're sort of schedule changes because I just don't think that's the process.
Okay. We will rework 1.4 and we'll plan on extracting 1.4 from the packet and not having it.
Okay. On course enrollment, it's labeled 1.3 in school transfer crossed out. Is 1.3 supposed to stay with course enrollment?
The situation with 1.3, and part of the reason
supposed to stay with that. That number.
Oh, the number?
It's the number, it's a simple question, not very detailed.
Yeah, maybe just to explain this policy, the original policy of in-school transfer had to do with if the state charter school board was limiting a student being able to move from the 7th grade to the 8th grade and just like advance up a grade. The policy was written with the vision that the school would be restricted by how many students could be in each grade. But when the charter was approved, it's simply limited by the total number of students, not by each grade. And so as I was reviewing this, I could see that the policy really was obsolete and didn't apply as far as transferring between the grades. As we were looking at course enrollment and how to go through that process, there was nothing in here other than in 1.4 some of the items and procedures just explained the policy for course enrollment, and so I simply used 1.3 to clarify and explain the policy of how we handle course enrollment. And so it was just simply adding this new policy in place of a policy that didn't.
So it is still on this week. Yeah.
It's the new 1.3.
Okay.
Maybe for the benefit of the new board members, the process that Vanguard uses through our program encourages students to advance as quick as they can and take a lot of college classes while they're going to high school. And so in order to do that, what we like to do is assist the parents in trying to help those students establish a career pathway that they want to work toward to begin taking college classes that will actually help them move toward the career they're looking for early on. And that's what this individualized graduation plan summary is that we're talking about, is helping them identify that college plan that they can actually begin. For example, if their interest is going in the medical field, we help them select concurrent enrolling classes that will get them into that field.
So you have concurrent
engineering. Yes, we do.
I got one more question on 3.1 academic rating policy. With the rating scale, and this doesn't necessarily say we should change it, just discussion. Because I think the University of Utah uses a little bit different scale, and I'm not sure if the University of Utah and SLIC's grading scale is consistent. But I know that with you, the grading scale for today is 93 to 100. And I'm just, is there a value in keeping it consistent with you, Salt Lake, or do you want to just keep it how you keep it? To me, and I'm not trying to change your grading scale or anything, but there might be some value to having it. Who knows, do you want to say
please? Is the general rule is 93?
It is.
But it is up to the teacher. Certain departments are a little different.
Are all of our grades like 1 point higher than the U or SLIC, or is it just an A? That's a lot.
Does USVE have a grading scale that schools are supposed to use? I don't know.
I'm not
really
sure.
That's definitely something I can look into. I must admit the grading scale that's on here was what was already on here.
I know. It's been on it. I
will make a note to check on that.
It's like value
and
being just consistent with everything. I think.
I'll research and see if the USBE has a specific skill for high schools.
I know there was one instance where a student was at U, and there was, you know, confusion or discussion whether what was an A, you know, they were used to an A before. So when they get to SLIC, then their A is a different one than their Vanguard type. Seems like it would be valuable to be the same.
Yeah, I can rework policy 3.1 and take a look at that. I don't know if there are any comments as far as page 2 on 3.1. Had some of those lower standards that were previously in policy. And my thoughts are if a student is at those lower standards, the goal is not to suspend them and remove them, but to try to figure out how to help them get it up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's the reason for my proposal to strike those out, because I don't see.
Is it replaced with anything?
I haven't replaced it with anything other than
like improvements, you know, standing or something like that. You need to be improved. And also the criteria about who's eligible for concurrent enrollment and that kind of thing. That's all been struck out, but that still needs to be defined.
Part of that is because the state changed and said.
Oh, I know why these are removed. I get that. But I'm saying to replace some of the elements of it that need to be defined. Like, for example, who qualifies for concurrent enrollment? Someone who's on a low grade point can't enroll in concurrent, but that was struck out of here, and I understand why. But some of the things in here still need to be.
And that's a good point. Yeah. We'll take that and rework that one.
Is there any more discussion? It sounds like there's a few different parts of these policies that need to be clarified and reworded. Do we want to vote on the other policies tonight, or do we want to go back and fix the discussion points
and
today?
If the board would like more time to review what's here and provide additional comments.
What's the timeline when's appropriate urgency for these guys?
At this point, there's nothing urgent because what I'm updating these policies is just trying to update what the school is already doing. And so,
nice to maybe pare this down. Take some, like one point, the enrollment and lottery policy. I think it's excellent. I think it's really well rewritten, very well. And then start paring it down a little bit, so it's not.
This is I like section 5.8. I think it's working very well. That's our game.
Requesting a vote on individual policies. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Pulled out of the packet.
Yeah, we can do that.
So if you want to vote on the individual policies, then we could start with the first one and entertain a motion to approve 1.1.
A motion to approve 1.1 enrollment and lottery policy.
I'll second that.
So we have Grace's motion to approve section 1.1 enrollment and lottery policy, and was it Darren that seconded? So all in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All opposed? Say no. So the voting is unanimous. Policy 1.1 enrollment and lottery is approved.
So the next one is 1.3 then, to decide?
Yes.
I motion to approve 1.3 course enrollment.
I second the motion.
So Darren motioned to approve 1.3 course enrollment and Grace seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say no. So 1.3 course enrollment has been approved. I think 3.2 is the next one that we didn't have issues with.
One thing I did notice on here is with some of what struck out, I was thinking we did clarify in here that the guidelines for the assignment of homework would be established by each teacher. You'll notice we don't have that very clearly in here.
Yeah, it's not like this section actually was assigned by each. It was in the policy manual, but it's
Then in 3.1.
Teachers will coordinate with students on receiving assignments in the academic aid policy, and then on the homework. So it's light. Are you saying you just need to put it in both sections? On 3.8.
And this one states teachers will coordinate with students on completing missing assignments.
Mm-hmm.
But this policy did have, it says late homework will not be accepted unless it is associated with an excused absence. Some of our teachers use that policy, some do not. Some prefer to have the policy a little different. And my thoughts is, as long as it is within a reason and is accomplishing the goal of helping the students with 100% mastery, I'd like to leave that up to the teacher to make that decision. And so, but I see I thought I had that in here, but I don't see it in there.
So 3.2 will need to be reworked as well.
Let me rework that one a little more to include that.
So next is 5.6 personal items. Is there any discussion on that before we entertain a motion? Okay, so Scott motioned to approve 5.6 personal items, and Brad seconded. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. That voting is unanimous. 5.6 personal items is approved. Next is 5.7, lost and found.
So there's no changes.
There's a strikeout.
Should have been red.
Yeah. That was a good strikeout.
and this change was actually made. In fact, we May, if the board members here remember, Suzanne had gone through and looked at the changes in regulations regarding fines, and we had gone through and updated the policies. As I was looking through, I found this policy that looked like Suzanne had missed. And,
So that was the reason for proposing to remove that. I'm wondering if we ought to add on that second paragraph, instead of just saying items will be donated, maybe unclaimed items will be donated, so that it establishes that these are orphans.
And if that's the only proposed change, we can entertain a motion to approve this policy with that unclaimed added to that last paragraph.
I motion to approve it with the word unclaimed added to that second paragraph.
I second that motion.
So Dan put forth the motion for 5.7 Lost and Found, and Grace seconded. So all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. 5.7 Lost and Found has been approved. Are there any changes to 5.8?
There were no changes to proposed to it. It's just a policy that is in the system previously showing pending board approval. And
okay.
I don't know that the board had ever approved it. It did appear to me that at some point Suzanne was setting this up to comply with some of the changes that have come into effect.
Okay.
But must have never actually put it before the board.
Okay. So we can entertain a motion to implement policy 5.8, gang prevention and intervention.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, I'll do that last. I motion to approve policy 5.8, gang prevention and intervention as written.
So Debbie made the motion to approve this or implement this policy, and Darren seconded. So all in favor of implementing 5.8 gang prevention and intervention, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say no. So 5.8 has been approved. And 5.9, is this also a new policy?
Again, it was a policy that was in the current student handbook, but I could not find any record of it ever being reviewed or approved by the board.
Okay.
And so I wanted to put that forward to have it looked at and confirm that the board did want this thing. Originally, we had an initial policy, I think, that was approved that said they could not have a backpack at all in their classes.
Mm-hmm.
But the school at some point changed that policy and began functioning and allowing that, but I don't think it ever ran through the board to make that change.
Okay. I do remember talking about this, but I don't remember if we ever voted on it, so. Can.
I'm not clear of the statute, I don't see anything mentioned here about the ability and the right of the school to search a backpack on school property. Because that's where contraband and weapons and things can be concealed.
Mm-hmm.
Some schools have gone to only backpacks that are clear, which is, I think, a financial burden on parents.
No. That is a good point. I thought I had seen that somewhere in the policy, but it really should be. It really should be in this, specifically in this, and we'll make a note.
Just a bullet point under enforcement. The school reserves the right to inspect backpacks.
So it should be added.
No, it should be added.
Yeah.
Maybe right to search backpacks as allowed by state law and board rule. We don't know exactly what those are.
I believe if they're on school's property, you can search
any teacher.
Yeah. But don't quote me chapter and verse.
I'll check the state law and include it.
So is there a policy for searching or inspecting lockers? Because it should be consistent.
The same thing,
yeah.
It should be. You should have the same right once you research that.
So if we have something stated for lockers, this could mirror that.
And that may be where I saw it. I'll verify that.
Okay. So we'll table 5.9 until that research is done. So 11.11, this should be in the teacher handbook.
Teacher handbook.
But the content of it, we can entertain a motion to approve this one.
So it's in the employee teacher handbook, not
yes.
the student?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And just to explain what this policy does, if we have a teacher that wants to get additional degree or additional education to advance their license, we are actually offering to help them do that by covering the tuition in the form of a loan that over time, after they've got their degree, over time, then that loan's forgiven. And after they remain employed here for, I think it states for a minimum of 5 years, that their tuition will have been covered for that loan advancement, for that degree advancement. Licensure.
And is this for all employees or just teachers? So could a staff member take advantage of it?
That is a good point. Right now it does specify all employees. And there again, the policy itself was written before I was here.
It does say based on the needs of Vanguard. Are any teachers currently doing this?
There are, and we've had actually, in fact, just today, we had a teacher come into John's office and want to apply to be able to do this, which we're working on her master's degree.
So this has been approved already?
I could not find a record of it being approved.
So is it a reimbursement or is it a loan?
The intent is for it to be considered a loan up until the point that if they remained employed for a minimum of 5 years after their advancement of their degree, then that loan would be
forgiven. So I think it's each year, then they have to work
for
a year.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says for each year they are in school, they have to work 1 year after their degree is completed.
After they finish.
Yes.
And then the master's is 2 years for each year.
Okay.
I would suggest maybe to clarify that in that first sentence, reimbursement in the form of a loan, a forgivable loan. Potentially forgivable loan, something like that. And then also maybe to put the language somewhere that says at the school's sole discretion. So have somebody walk in that wants a degree in underwater basket weaving and want to be reimbursed for it.
They teach that to you.
I think somewhere
it
says
I'm sure they do.
Somewhere it's
it does state on the third bullet item, the degree must be approved by Vanguard and must
relevant
be relevant.
Yeah, the legalese in there needs to kind of say that you have that discretion.
Yeah, that is
sole discretion.
I'm sure that helps with teacher attention.
How many employees does this school have?
Not all of them are full time.
I will go ahead and rework this wording a little bit based on the board's suggestions. make sure it's referenced into the teacher handbook and make sure that the policy number correlates into the teacher handbook.
Is there a budget line item for this? Like once it's maxed out, it's maxed or?
And that's the question. That's the question. As far as funding available.
So we will get that in this.
Okay.
Maybe a comment in that regard is that, you know, if there's a limited funding or these loans are available based on funding allocations for that school.
Right now it just says based on budget availability. So there's a correlating line item in the budget.
Yeah, maybe that covers that sufficiently.
We'll look at that. I think that's everything as far as policy update. If we go back to the last item that I mentioned as far as the director's report, on the notes here. The final items that I have is during the September 6th board meeting, then a vote was held regarding contract renewal for Hannah Owen, one of our PE teachers and our basketball coach, because of a relationship conflict with me. She is my sister-in-law, and so in order to renew her contract, I had brought it before the board for the board's approval. There were other board members who were also conflicted and removed themselves, and a vote was taken. If you look in the minutes, a vote was taken by the remaining board members. There were four board members present, and then Mr. Mangum was attending by phone and cast the fifth vote. As I've looked into it, it's kind of my intention that that may not have been proper for Mr. Mangum to be making the quorum by casting a vote by phone. That the quorum needed to be.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
I think with the
So as long as there were
COVID. Was he on speaker with everybody else?
Yes.
Yeah.
And as public?
Yeah.
I was under the understanding that somewhere in the statutes it said that we could not cast a vote electronically unless there was a quorum present
in person.
Because there have been lots of board meetings that have been held completely online.
Yeah, I think COVID changed a lot of that.
And so I just want to clarify if there was a problem with that, I was going to recommend that the board reconsider that with the current board to make sure it was correct. Our attorneys just wanted to make sure everything is appropriate.
But other schools have done that too and have had board members call in and they're on speakerphone, so I don't think it's an issue.
Okay.
Otherwise, it would need to be listed on the agenda as a specific action item to vote on.
Okay. And it was, and it's definitely in the
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, but if you wanted to revote tonight, it would need to have been. I think you're fine.
Can I ask just a quick question on those? Sorry, I don't mean to extend time here. Are you voting on all teachers' contracts or just the ones that had conflict?
Just the ones that had conflict. Then the only other thing I have is we actually had an employee that's no longer working for us on our lunch duty. And we have a former employee who worked in that position has put an application to return to work. John Williams, our business manager, is the one that manages that area. But the employee is my nephew, and so there's a relational conflict with me, creating the need for the board to make the decision. And that's why, in light of that need, John was asking if that could be voted on. Of course, I would need to withdraw myself.
So.
You don't have a voting item on the agenda, right?
Yeah, in order to vote, it has to be on the agenda. But, I mean, as like board chair, you could give the guidance that in the interim, that person would not report directly to you.
Yeah, and
to Charles.
I don't think, do they report directly to you?
No.
Okay.
They would be reporting directly to our lunch program manager who reports to John.
Okay.
I think if they don't report directly to you, I'm not sure if it needs.
Because Royce approached me and says, "Well, you don't need to do that." And the two of us sat down and pulled out the regulation.
Right. Okay.
And Royce says, "Oh, based on this, you do need to do that." Mm-hmm. But if it needs to be on the agenda, the question is if there would be an issue with him helping in the interim, because we really are shorthanded.
And I think it would be
put it on the agenda for the next board meeting.
Yeah, I'd recommend that he could continue working in the interim until that's approved.
Technically, the only things that should be on a public vote have to be on the agenda. Even when we talk about those policy changes, it would be a subcategory of the director's report, policy review.
We have policy update on it here.
On number 7,
he has to have it brought up.
I just requested to move it up. Because if I was going to withdraw, I would probably not stay around for the remainder of the agenda item, since they don't necessarily involve me, and actually have another event that I've scheduled to be at. So, but yeah, if that's the case, that if we need that specific identified on the board, then we can table that for the next board meeting. So that's everything that I have then, as far as the director's report and the policy update.
Okay. So the next item would be the finance committee report, and we'll turn that over to John.
I'll let John step up here. So I did include the budget versus actual. You can see where we're at compared to the overall budget. There are a few categories where we are over, or where we normally should be. One of them is the professional and technical services. That one is due to our legal fees. And so hopefully that one won't continue to go up too much. And then the other one is in the property, we did buy some new computers, and that caused that percentage to be higher than where we normally be, I guess, if you're going just a straight line cost throughout the year. And then as far as purchasing, then this last month, then we had 72 requests and purchases under 1,000. We had 6 over 1,000, and then we had 1 that was over 50,000, and that was for new Chromebooks that we got. And then we are also in the process of a few RFPs, and so one of them is for the GPS software they talked about with the graduation plan. Those evaluations are finished, and we're in the final stages of selecting and awarding that contract. And then we also have a bid for the technology services. That one has closed, and we are finishing up the evaluations on that. And so we should be ready to select
and award that.
On RFPs, are they brought to the board?
They go through the finance committee. They don't generally go.
And so that RFP, was that the blank vendor?
So all of them have been blind. So all of them are blind vendor. So we pull off the names and we select the evaluators, so the evaluators don't know who the companies are that they're reviewing. And then we also just had the RFP for the mill services close. And so we are in the process of selecting the evaluation committees, and we will be going through that evaluation process.
Is it QuickBooks?
Yes.
Chromebooks, right?
Or
the software?
Oh, yes.
The
software.
Oh, okay. Okay. It's QuickBooks.
Okay.
Just regular QuickBooks or?
It's QuickBooks Online.
Would it be beneficial for the big RFPs or awards to come before the board? Just with the...
How would you do that? What's the best?
Well, it's only the RFPs are only over 50,000. Or whatever your financial policy is that what it
yeah.
is? That's
yes.
the
yeah.
policy. And once everything's all done, then it's shown to the board, and any conflicts can be discussed if there are any, and then the board approves just RFPs, not the
yeah.
smaller contracts or purchasing or anything. That's not the board's thing, but it's just
that's what most schools do.
The big stuff.
Okay.
And there's a clear record that any conflicts were.
When it comes to the board, is it still blind?
No.
Okay.
So once the blind evaluation is made with the finance committee, the evaluation,
bring the winning bid to the board.
Then you bring the winning bid.
The winning bid. Yeah, you don't bring them all in.
Okay.
Yeah. Just the winning bid.
Okay. Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
just
then,
suggestion.
And then make people over why it was chosen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then any conflicts can be discussed.
Right.
Okay.
Are any of these, are they time sensitive? With
needing
to get it selected, and
we want to move forward as quick as we can. There's not really a hard deadline, but we do want to move forward as quick as we can. And I would expect that we can have all of these three ready for the next board meeting.
Is that okay?
I think so.
That's what other schools do with the paper.
So they're. Are they going to be selected and contract awarded before the meeting?
So, no, we,
okay.
we can just have the selection done
okay.
and then bring them late.
And we're okay on time?
So we have to know, do we have to have that decision made before November? What's our next board meeting? November? But you can't actually contract with them until...
Right.
Right.
But I think the evaluation is pretty close anyways. And the finance committee could bring the recommendation to the board, and then the board would approve to sign and enter into that contract.
I'm only talking two or three.
There are three of them.
So it would be November 8th.
When is the...
November 8th would be the second Tuesday.
The other part of that is that it brings those larger items in a public setting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just...
Yeah, that's the best way.
Part of keeping it.
Yeah, we can for sure do that.
So we'll put that in next month's minutes agenda.
So are we going to need that before November? Is it 8th?
I think I have on their schedule, it's November 15th.
That's what I was thinking, November 15th.
Is it the third Tuesday?
It's the second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday is the 8th.
So
also you're saying we have a week?
Yeah. I don't remember why we chose the 15th
GPS,
instead of 8th, but somebody
okay.
asked for it to be that
the
way.
The GPS one is ready to...
The GPS one is ready to go right now?
Is ready to go, I believe. The evaluation has been done. So
is that the technology one? Isn't the technology one ready too?
The technology one, I think we have maybe one more review to come in, and then that one will be ready.
Okay.
This is for the technology services, not...
So the other one is not already?
That one's already.
So on.
Which one does
the
long distance?
I know, that's the one. We need the distance
learning.
We need the distance
learning
right now.
So that one's a different one.
So is there three?
Is that above 50 or below?
So that one, well, there's two pieces of it. The project management is the part that we're working through now, and then it's almost ready to submit or send it out for bid on the actual equipment. And so that one would be over 50, and so we would want to bring that one here.
The equipment side?
That one is not.
So can you rename those three that need to be ready for next time? I've got next time's agenda up here. What's the first one?
So the first one was the GPS software.
So also, should I put GPS software bid?
RFP,
okay.
Okay, and
RFP
then
is a voting item.
The technology services.
Oops, I left this aside.
And that is the on-site management of the technology, the computers and networks and all of that stuff.
GPS software RFP.
And then the last one was meal services.
Meal services. And you don't...
That'll be RFPs.
That's an RFP. All of those are RFPs.
And so you don't need... Didn't they say there was one... So technology services is different than the distance learning. Should I add the distance learning on as well?
Which one is the distance
so it can
learning?
Be ready?
Which
RFP is a distance learning?
So
it's
that
a separate
one,
right?
That one is
sounds
a different
like a
one
separate.
Than these.
So there's just that one too?
So that one...
Is that not on over 50?
So the equipment is, yes.
Okay.
Were you saying that might not be ready by next month?
So that one we're working through. I think we should be ready for that one as well.
Okay, so there's four
items.
I have
so
one for each
easier
four.
To pull off an
mm-hmm.
agenda item then.
Yeah. Yeah. So that one I would put your classroom
distance
technology.
Put classroom technology instead of distance learning?
Yes, because
okay.
it's more than just distance learning.
Okay.
So the one that we're talking about is we're looking at equipment so that we can do the remote learning and record lesson, you know. Just
that's awesome. That's a good one. Okay. Those are on there.
And then did you add that HR item?
Yes.
Are there any other questions or discussion on the finance report? If not, are we approving this, the budget, or is that?
It's not.
Is this just
information?
Okay. So if there's no other discussion on the Finance Committee report, we'll move on to the Academic Assessment Committee report by Marie, Joni, and Joy.
So I have the assessment report that shows year to year how we've done in comparison with the state numbers. And on the far right is the 21-22 school year. For this year, then I've added on the growth, which was just recently made available. I made notes out to the side. So for our 7th grade English, we tied for first place in the state for growth. We were number 12 with 7th grade math. Our 8th grade math was number 1 in growth and number 3 for proficiency. Our 10th grade math was number 2 in growth. 7th grade science and 8th grade science were each number 4 in growth. So I just wanted to mention that we do have a really big focus with our teachers as far as working with each student and tracking data and helping them to be able to progress. Oh, sorry. And that's why we're able to do so well with our growth numbers is because they do focus on each student and helping them to make the progress that they need to each year in those subjects. The other thing I wanted to mention is the purple box out to the side on the right-hand side. In our accelerated program in eighth grade, so with the testing, you can see how many students in the state are in eighth grade that take the ninth grade math test. So we can see that 7% of Utah is in an accelerated program at that point. 66% of our students are in an accelerated program. And of those 66%, 93% of those were proficient in the higher level test. So 93% of our eighth graders that took the ninth grade math test were proficient attending. So anyway, just really proud of them.
When they do the testing, they do a grade specific one, right? So if it's an eighth grader that's just jumped up in a level, is he taking the ninth grade proficiency test or the eighth grade proficiency test?
So it's a little different. Third through eighth takes the RISE, and RISE is grade level, but in junior high, if they are in an off grade, an off level math class, then they can take that test. So our eighth graders that finish ninth grade math in eighth grade, they do take the ninth grade test. In high school, it is strictly grade level. So our ninth graders that are enrolled in 10th grade math still take the ninth grade math test. So it's different depending on the testing platform. We also have recently gotten the Utah State report card, and our grade was an A, exemplary, so really excited about that. Another thing that I wanted to mention is the growth of our lowest 25% was in the high category. And again, our teachers, we really try to work with them, and they do a great job at helping those, any of the kids that need that extra assistance. And in each category, so our achievement was commendable, growth was exemplary, and post-secondary readiness was commendable. Our ACT scores were a little low in that one, but our four-year grad rate was 98.8, and the readiness coursework was 94%. So both of those were up there. We're just getting to work on our ACT 18 plus this year.
That's it for mine. Joey, you're Joey. Can you start working on the ACT?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. All of our 11th grade teachers have already given at least one practice test in Schmoop so that the kids have their personalized drills already identified.
October is college month, and so in the testing department, we are working on our college preparation night, which is this Thursday and next Thursday. Our goal is to reach to all of our graduating students and ensure that every student has their pathway determined, a post-secondary graduation plan, and then each student has either applied for financial aid and scholarships and colleges, or they have identified a pathway that doesn't require that. And so we are going to be working really hard with each of our students to make sure that we do reach every student, that they have a plan, and that they're working in that direction. And we will have a report by the end of the term, or the college month, and then by the next board meeting, anticipate that we'll have a summary to identify which students still have not met that goal, and then we'll be working with them from that point.
And on curriculum, I did want to highlight our new lab aids curriculum that our science, junior high science classes are using. The teachers have really loved it quite a bit. It focuses quite a bit on hands-on, and the part that's the nicest for the teachers is that any items for the experiments are packaged with it, so they aren't having to go and pick up a lot of supplies. So as I visit the classrooms and I watch them using this curriculum, it's a lot of hands-on, the kids are really involved, and the teacher says, I don't really need to use the computers as much because the kids are learning from the actual doing. So that fits in with our mission and our project-based wanting to have it more like that. I also do want to highlight a project that I've been working on with the counselors for our 12th grade leadership class. It's a specific curriculum just for the 12th graders that has these things that Joni's talking about. So this college night preparation, we have several assignments that we created in the class to help the kids to be able to prepare for that. So we're meeting once a week right now, creating assignments, putting them into the curriculum format, and it's really enhanced the 12th grade experience this year. The counselors are the teachers in that class, and so they have direct access to help their students meet each one of these milestones to really be ready for college. So we're ahead this year on FAFSA. Right, Joni? We're ahead on.
We're right on track where our goal to be able to meet the priority deadlines, not just to be able to meet the final February 1st deadline, but the priority deadlines of November.
Yeah, so we're excited. We feel like we're going to have a lot more kids. They're already working on scholarship essays and things like that. So we're excited for that to become part of our curriculum core. So, that's all I have.
Any more discussion on academic reports? No, we've covered all the items. We moved the policy update back, so that's all the items we've had on our agenda. So we'll entertain a motion to close. Anyone have one?
Motion to close.
So Grace, motion to close. Darren, seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Say no. Okay. Meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
Well done. Well done.
Now we have 15
teachers. And how many teachers? When he asked for teachers, he wrote it out. How many teachers?
Well, no, our full staff, our employees.